Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Danny Parkin Show.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. My name is Danny Parkins. We are in the great city of Chicago. We are on the radio.com app. We are on CBS Sports Radio and Sirius 206. The number around here is 855-212-4227. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. I could give you a review of The Irishman, because I spent 3.5 hours Friday night in the theater, and don't regret it. Or we can do NFL postgame. And frankly, football weekend postgame. Because this has been the best football weekend of the year thus far. 855-212-4227. Want to hear your biggest takeaways from this day in the NFL more specifically. I was feeling like Lamar Jackson was Superman. Second game this year with a perfect passer rating. That's only been done once in NFL history by a guy named Ben Roethlisberger. Another insane touchdown run highlight. Lamar Jackson absolutely could win MVP this year. He's second on my ballot right now, which is not a real ballot. They should give me a vote, but I don't have one. Behind Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson would be one. Lamar Jackson would be two. Deshaun Watson would be three. And then, you know, I think Mahomes could still do it. I think in a perfect world, Christian McCaffrey could still do it if a bunch of things broke his way. But I feel pretty confident in saying it's going to be Russ, Lamar, or Deshaun for the MVP this year. I am baffled by what's happened to the Rams. Jared Goff in his last 16 games has 17 passing touchdowns, three rushing touchdowns, but 16 interceptions, 16 fumbles, and has taken 28 sacks with a passer rating of 79. I have no idea if it's Jared Goff, Todd Gurley's health, Sean McVay being figured out. I have no idea what's happened to the Rams offense, but zero catches for Cooper Kupp today. I know the Steelers defense is good and Minkah Fitzpatrick is great, but my God, zero catches for Cooper Kupp. That is baffling. Speaking of baffling, I cannot figure out the Falcons. I cannot quit the Chiefs because Tyreek Hill and Pat Mahomes are breathtaking when they're together. They've only had 55 plays on offense this year, and they've lost by 7-7, 6-3 in their four losses. The defense is bad, but it's not horrendous. And I think the offense is the best offense in the NFL. And once they get Lawrence Duvernay-Tardif, their French-Canadian doctor, literally graduated from med school, at left guard back, and then Eric Fisher, the former number one pick at left tackle back, and you get the offensive line straightened out, Mahomes healthy, Kelsey healthy, Watkins healthy, and Tyreek Hill healthy, I think they're the best unit in the NFL. Any team's offense, any team's defense, I'll take the Chiefs' offense while healthy. I have no idea who's going to make the wild card in the AFC between Bills, Raiders, Titans, Steelers, and Colts, but I think the NFC playoffs are locked up. Niners, Saints, Packers, Eagles, Vikings, Seahawks. I'll be floored if I get any of those NFC teams wrong. 855-212-4227. And I also think that we should have a discussion on NFL quarterbacking and protecting the quarterbacks and the rules, because half of your teams have had to play a backup quarterback at some point this season. Maybe it's only been for a series or two. Maybe it's only been for a game or two. Right? Like maybe you have put in, you know, Teddy Bridgewater and he goes 5-0. Maybe it was Chase Daniel for a couple of weeks. Maybe it's Blake Bortles for a, you know, a pass play or a series or whatever it is. But 16 teams have played a backup quarterback this year. Quarterbacks are getting injured and the rules are there to protect them. Now, I don't think it's made football that much worse, these rules to protect the quarterback. But I think it is worth noting that it's also not exactly keeping the quarterbacks healthy. Now, you could say some of this is fluky. Some of it's, right, Drew Brees hitting his hand on a helmet. That has nothing to do with rules. I understand that. It's just one half of one season. So it could just be an aberration. But I think it's worth noting that the most conservative, protective rules to protect the quarterbacks are not keeping the quarterbacks healthy. And within that, I think it's worth noting that when Lamar Jackson gets criticized for playing a brand of football that is quote-unquote not sustainable because it's inevitable that he's going to get injured, again, in a small sample, Lamar Jackson hasn't been injured. And then there's Jason Garrett and the Dallas Cowboys. Who, buddy? What was that? How are you not trying to block that punt late? How are you fair catching that punt late? How are you running the ball to Ezekiel Elliott late when he hasn't gotten anything going on the ground all day against the Vikings defensive line when Dak Prescott is carving up the Vikings secondary? The Vikings cornerbacks are terrible. And Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup and Randall Cobb were crushing them. And you blow that game in that spot? That is terrible late game execution. Like, listen, good job by Kirk Cousins. I don't want to take everything away from that Vikings win. He has taken a ton of arrows locally, a ton of arrows nationally. He got a ton of money, and he got a target put on his back for it. And he had not won a game against the team with a winning record since he had been quarterback of the Vikings. 0-7-1 coming into tonight. But I hate evaluating quarterbacks by wins and losses, but he seemed to be the guy that shrunk in the big moments. And, man, he was good, but I just thought the Cowboys were worse. And Dalvin Cook was spectacular, as always. But that Jason Garrett, Kellen Moore, late-game execution by that Cowboys offense, not fireable, but whew, tough to defend. Tough to defend if you're a Cowboy fan. You've got to feel like you are underachieving in such a huge way if you follow the Cowboys and live and die with the Cowboys. Because I think you've got as talented a team as any team in the NFL, 2 through 53. You've got an average quarterback and an awful coaching staff. And that's just a recipe for 7-9 wins every year. And a lot of irrelevance come January. 855-212-4227. We're going to talk quarterbacks and money a little bit later on in the show because Dak Prescott reportedly is going to get the franchise tag. We'll do that a little bit later on. 855-212-4227. My name's Danny Parkins. This is the Danny Parkins Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll stay right here in the great city of Chicago. Joe, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, man?
What's up, Park? That was a little humor. Hey,
I'm glad you told me.
I was listening down the dial on 720, and Ed Obradovich and Dan Hampton, you'd think the Bears lost by 35 today. it was a shredding of the Bears' performance. I think Ed Obradovich said 18 punts in three games. He's furious.
What's your question?
What's your insight? No, my question is, what's your insight on the Bears? It looks like we got three touchdown passes today. The Bears look like maybe they're turning the corner, but I just want to see what your insight is.
All right, I appreciate the call. They're turning a corner to what, man? Like, the Bears would have lost the game today if Matt Stafford was healthy. He missed his first game in 9 years. Mitch Trubisky had three touchdowns, but he didn't have 200 yards. It was not all Mitch Trubisky's fault, not even close. They had penalties. They had drops. Those were two bad football teams. Bears had lost four in a row. They beat a bad football team at home. When the Stafford news came out, they went from 2.5-point favorites to 6.5-point favorites, and they won by 7. So the game went exactly how Vegas thought it should go. Over-under was 38 points. There were 33 points scored. So it was expected to be a low-scoring Bears win. It was a low-scoring Bears win. It was an ugly game. It was a sloppy game. The Rams are beatable. The Giants are beatable. The Lions are beatable. Those are the next three games. But the Bears are not good. So I think the Bears are a 6-win team. Maybe 7. And the worst thing you can be in the NFL is 7-9. And for the Bears, it's even worse because they don't have a first-round pick. And it's okay that they don't have a first-round pick because they got Khalil Mack, who is amazing, even if his production is not what it was last year. I think a big part of the reason for that is Akeem Hicks is out, and part of the benefit of having a game-wrecker monster defensive player is it makes everyone else around him better. So when you've got an all-pro in Khalil Mack and a Pro Bowler in Akeem Hicks, if you put all your attention on Mack, then Akeem Hicks eats. And if you give some of the attention to Hicks, then Khalil Mack has less attention, and he turns in a defensive player of the year performance. So I don't think the Bears turned some corner. I don't think that something clicked for the Bears offense. They got a win. They needed a win. It would have been really ugly if they would have lost to Jeff Driscoll. But the Boo Birds were out on the first drive of the game. Like, this was not a pretty convincing win by the Bears by any stretch of the imagination. I did not find that to be a very impressive performance. Now, that being said, I don't have any problem that they celebrated after the game and did their club dub thing or anything like that. Like, wins are hard to come by in the NFL. These guys are professionals. They're taking it week to week. They still think they can go on a run. Good for them. They should. But do I think they could go on a run? No. That was a bad team beating another bad team who didn't have its quarterback. 855-212-4227. In Michigan, Bob wants to talk about the other side of that game. What's up? What's up, Bob?
Enjoy your show. I'll make four very quick points, and then I'll listen to your answer. Three questions and one point.
Oh,
first
God,
of all,
okay.
Do you feel as though the Lions need to sit Stafford for the rest of the year and let him heal his back and get better? Secondly, is Matt Patricia's job on the line? Thirdly, what in the hell is wrong with the Detroit Lions? And the fourth point I'd like to make is about protecting the quarterbacks. I think what has to happen is most teams' offensive lines need to come into camp in shape. They're out of shape, and they're getting hurt by the defensive line.
All right. I appreciate the call, Bob. I don't think it's that the lines are not in shape. I think it's that they can't practice like they did back in the day. Right, you need the cohesion on your offensive line, and you need to actually hit people and work together in training camp, and there's only so many padded practices that you can have. So there's less actual team padded practice, and the offensive line suffers from that more than any other group. It's not that they're not in shape, it's that they're not able to do as much football activity early as they were in the past. But I don't think that that is the reason why injuries are up for quarterbacks this year. I think it's been a fluky season with quarterback injuries, but just worth noting because the rules are in place to protect the quarterbacks. So my thing is, don't put in more rules. Acknowledge injuries are inherent of the game, so don't over-police it, over-regulate it with a bunch more rules to protect guys. Is Matt Patricia's job on the line? I would say no. And my guess is, I don't know how bad Stafford's injury is, so like I can't make a judgment on that. But what I would say is that the Lions also seem to be a team spiraling for 7-9, 7-8-1, that type of thing, 8-7-1, like NFL purgatory. So if Stafford does have a serious injury, I would sit him because the Lions have the makings, I think, of a great offense. With Stafford and Marvin, Marvin Jones and Kenny Galladay, that should be a top 10 NFL offense. So, and then TJ Hockenson, who I think is really nice, is the 8th overall pick. That should be a top 10 caliber NFL offense. So you got to upgrade around Darius Slay and put some real defensive talent in there for Matt Patricia to see if he can, with the rest of Stafford's prime, if he can get a defense up to snuff to go with what should be a very good offense. I don't think the Lions are that far away from being a good team. They should have beat the Cardinals week one. I think they beat the Bears today if Stafford's healthy. The refs stole that game for them against the Packers. The Lions are a competitive NFC team with a little bit of luck this year. They've had terrible luck this year, and now their quarterback's hurt. So, no, I wouldn't fire the coach and blow the entire thing up, but he is painfully conservative. So maybe get an analytics department in there. 855-212-4227 is the number. We got people wanting to fire executives. We got people jumping off the Jared Goff bandwagon. We got people firing coaches. Oh, we got all the takes. You know how it is. It's an NFL post-game show on the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Now back to the Danny Parkin Show.
And I appreciate you hanging out on the Danny Parkin Show. 855-212-4227 is the telephone number. It's an NFL Week 10 post-game show. I give you all my top takeaways, watch football all weekend. Then you react to what I think, and you weigh in with you. We bring in the best guests. That's how we do it. The NFL deserves to be celebrated in that way each and every week nationally on the radio.com app, Sirius 206, and over 200 radio stations across the country. We go to Houston, Texas, where Rob is on the Danny Parkin Show. What's up, Rob?
Hey, what's going on, man? So I'm just going to get straight to the point. So I want to know why, in a national perspective, why Deshaun Watson does not get talked about enough. You know, we hear about Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes. Lamar Jackson, I mean, he's a great player. He's doing great things, and I understand the hype behind him. But I mean, in reality, Baltimore is just playing honestly just like a wildcat. He cannot pass for nothing, man. He
had a perfect passer rating today for the second time this season, which has only been done by one quarterback in NFL history.
With that, for under 20 attempts. That's fine. That's amazing. The passer rating, good passer rating. I understand that. Deshaun Watson actually had one himself a couple weeks ago. And it was for more than 20 attempts. But what I'm trying to get at is, like, I love this week coming up. You know, it's gonna
listen,
be
man. I can't wait for that game either. And I am as big of a Deshaun Watson fan as possibly exists. I watched every game that he played at Clemson. I said he should have been the number one pick in that draft. So I appreciate the telephone call. Obviously, if we did a redraft, Pat Mahomes would go one, Deshaun Watson would go two, and Myles Garrett would go three. And yes, Deshaun Watson is a better passer than Lamar Jackson right now. The only reason I think that Lamar Jackson would be the MVP over Deshaun Watson, and it's close. I have Deshaun Watson third, Lamar Jackson second, Russell Wilson first. I mean, Russell Wilson right now has 22 touchdown passes with one interception, and he's third in the NFL in yards. And I believe he's first in passer rating. Yeah. Russell Wilson is first in passer rating, first in QBR, first in touchdowns, first in interceptions, third in yards. So Russell Wilson is the MVP of the league through nine games. I think Lamar Jackson is second because when you combine, I mean, he's done things that Mike Vick's never done running the ball. He's done things that no quarterback in the history of the game other than Ben Roethlisberger has done passing the ball. And the entire offense is built around him. right? Like when you put RG3 in for Baltimore, it's a different offense. And they have RG3 to try to keep it similar, but no one else can do what Lamar Jackson is doing. So he is singular in terms of his talent this year. But that's not a knock on Deshaun Watson. And why Deshaun Watson isn't getting more love nationally, he gets a ton of love nationally. Pat Mahomes has just outshined him because he won MVP last year. So he's getting the national television commercials and that sort of thing. But Deshaun Watson gets plenty of love. You cannot play the Deshaun Watson is disrespected card. Now, should he get more love? I would agree with you. But he gets plenty of respect. Trust me. 855-212-4227 is the number. George in L.A. is on the Danny Parkin Show. What's up, George?
Danny, I really enjoy your show, and I appreciate your insight. But just make a few comments about the Rams. First, their offensive line is in shambles. Gurley's a shell of himself. Goff can't hold on to the damn ball to save his life. I don't know how many games this year he's fumbled and other team scores.
He's got 16 fumbles in his last 16 games played.
I mean, this might sound crazy to you, Danny, but, you know, with Bortles, I know he can move better than Goff. He's stronger than Goff. And maybe with that team, I don't know, he might be a better quarterback than Goff. I know you probably think I'm crazy, but, you know.
Yeah, I do. I do think you're crazy. I mean, Jared Goff is not that far removed from, what, a 4,700-yard passing season with 30-something touchdowns. I mean, Blake Bortles has never sniffed that kind of production. And you guys gave Jared Goff a $140 million contract. Like, you're not going to go to Blake Bortles.
No, I understand that. I'm just trying to think of something because Goff is not right. He can't hold on to the ball. I don't know if his hands are too small. I don't know what his problem is. McVay, I think, has lost confidence in him. And they're in trouble, man. I mean, I don't know. He might beat the Bears by pure accident. I mean, that's going to be a weird game Sunday night. But thank you, Danny.
No, I appreciate the call. Yeah, I think that they'll probably beat the Bears because the Bears aren't very good and that game's in L.A. So I think they'll probably beat the Bears. But the Rams aren't going to the playoffs, and I agree with you. Something has happened to the Rams. And I'll be honest, like it goes back a long ways. The Bears beat the Rams 15-6 in week 15 last year. Their offense has not been dominant since. Now, they won the NFC, so it's not like they were getting talked about a lot in terms of failing offensively, but these defensive coordinators are figuring out what Sean McVay's doing. And then when you take away, because they do so much, you know, play action, when you take away some of their dominant run game with Gurley being less than 100%, and then you factor in big picture, you know, they paid Goff, they paid Donald, they paid Gurley, you know, they trade for Jalen Ramsey to pay him. Brandon Cooks gets a bunch of money. Like they have a very top-heavy salary cap, and they've traded away a lot of draft capital. So they don't have a ton of money coming. They don't have a ton of draft picks coming. Their quarterback got paid and looks average at best. And their running game isn't something that you can rely on because of health and offensive line problems. That is not a good spot to be. That is a terrible combination. More of your NFL reaction, and then the smart thing to do with paying mediocre quarterbacks or not. That's coming up at the top of the hour. More of your calls.
Now back to the Danny Parkin Show.
And I appreciate you hanging out on the Danny Parkin Show. This is CBS Sports Radio, radio.com sports. Cowboys had every chance to win tonight on Sunday Night Football. Blew it, got conservative late. Were running instead of passing when they were trailing by four. It was an odd thing. Mind-boggling decision-making by Jason Garrett. Lamar Jackson has a historic day, sets up what should be an epic game next week. Deshaun Watson against Lamar Jackson next week. This week of football was so good, I already want next week to get here. I hope we get a good game on Monday Night Football to cap what has been by far the best week of the NFL season. But let's take more of your calls. 855-212-4227 is the telephone number. Dame, right here in Illinois, is on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Dame?
How you doing, Park?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
Pretty good. Congrats on becoming a dad.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, not yet, but due in March.
I know it's coming, but
tell me about it, man. Trust me.
Irishman and
yeah, but, yeah. No, it was a big weekend. Big weekend for your boy.
Yeah. Congrats. I just want to know, who do you think's more at fault right now, Ryan Pace or Matt Nagy?
More at fault for what specifically?
Okay, Shaheen was cut today just as a healthy draft pick, so that was a second-round pick that was cut out. So I want to know who's more at fault for the Bears' decline here this year.
All right, man. Listen, Dame, I appreciate the call. It's tough because they tell us that they work hand in hand, right? I personally think Matt Nagy is the least responsible. If you go to the three principal parties involved, the GM, the coach, the quarterback of the Bears, I personally think that Matt Nagy is the least responsible because he comes from a system that is proven to work. Andy Reid's and the Chiefs, right? It's producing the best offense in the NFL in Kansas City, and it's produced a Super Bowl in Philadelphia with Doug Peterson. He was not here when Ryan Pace drafted Mitch Trubisky, who's awful and not capable of running Matt Nagy's system. They're running a very dumbed down, simplified, vanilla version of it. And Ryan Pace is, like most general managers, operating with a very mixed results resume. To me, like, who is the best at their job? Who is the worst at their job? Trubisky is clearly the worst at his job. Pace is second, and Nagy is third. Now, it might prove to be that they're all bad. I don't think that's the case. I think the system works if you've got a good, smart quarterback, and they don't have that. But Ryan Pace did trade for Khalil Mack. He did bring in Akeem Hicks. He did draft Eddie Jackson in the fourth round, all-pro safety. He did acquire, you know, he drafted Tariq Cohen in the fourth round. He built this defense that was the best defense in the NFL last year and a historically great defense, right? He matched the offer sheet on Kyle Fuller. A lot of Bears fans didn't want him to do that. He brought in Prince Amukamara. He brought Eddie Goldman. Like, he's got a really good defense on his resume, but he's got a really bad quarterback and offense on his resume. So to me, it's Matt Nagy, incomplete. Ryan Pace, a C. Mitch Trubisky, an F. That's how I would grade the three principal parties of the Bears. 855-212-4227 is the telephone number. Let's go to Myrtle Beach. Richard, you're on the Danny Parkin Show. What's up? Thanks for calling.
Yes, sir. Love your show. Three things real quick. Being a Redskins fan, I've always liked Cousins. I think the Redskins gave him a shaft like they do every other good player. But I think this is the year that Kirk Cousins shows he knows he has a target on his back, but I think he takes the Vikings further this year than what people expect.
Well, I mean, so listen, I expect the Vikings to make the playoffs as a wild card team. So when you say further than people expect, exactly how far do you think the Vikings are going to go?
I think they'll go up to the finals to see who goes to the Super Bowl.
Okay, so you got him in the NFC Championship game. Yeah, I will. I'd take that bet. I appreciate the call. That the Vikings are going to make the playoffs because the Vikings have what, 7 wins already? Yeah, they got 7 wins. 10 makes it the majority of the time. 11, it's only happened once where 11 wins has missed the playoffs. And the NFC is really good, but I don't think it's that good. I don't think it's missed the playoffs with 11 wins good. They got the Broncos at home next week. They'll be a big favorite. They're in Seattle on Monday Night Football the week after that. They'll be an underdog, but I think Seattle's going to lose tomorrow night, and I think Seattle's defense is bad, so I don't think they're that big of an underdog at Seattle. Home against the Lions, they'll be a favorite. At the Chargers, they'll be a favorite. Home against the Packers, I mean, that'll be a toss-up. And then home against the Bears, they'll be a favorite. So with six games remaining, and they've got the bye after next week, so they got the bye before that Seattle game, actually. So that makes that game a little easier for Minnesota. With six games remaining, the Vikings are going to be the favorite in probably five of the games. So let's give them four wins the rest of the way. That's an 11-win wildcard team. And maybe if the Packers stumble and they beat the Packers in Minnesota, maybe an 11-win division champion. Packers are 8-2, Vikings are 7-3. So I don't think the Vikings are better than the Saints. I don't think the Vikings are better than the Packers. I don't think the Vikings are better than the Niners. But I also don't think that the gap between the Vikings and any of those teams is that wide. So the Vikings range to me is make the Super Bowl, lose in the first round of the playoffs. And I'd be shocked if they won less than 10 games this year. And listen, I was as much of a Kirk Cousins hater and doubter as anybody, but this is what's happened since they got destroyed by the Bears. Remember, they lost to the Bears 16-6, the Vikings did. After that game, Stephon Diggs requested a trade, and Adam Thielen lashed out at his quarterback, and his quarterback publicly apologized in a moment seemingly of weakness. The next week, 28-10 over the Giants. Next week, 38 points in a win over the Eagles. Next week, 42 points in a win over the Lions. Then 19 points in a win over Washington, lost 26-23 to the Chiefs, and then won the night 28-24 over Dallas. So since that embarrassing performance in that tough week after they only had 6 points against the Bears, they scored 19 once, but then every other game it was 28 or more, and they've won 5 of 6. Pretty dominant. Got to give them credit for bouncing back from a serious low point in the season. 855-212-4227 is the number. Let's go to Akron. Jeff, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Jeff?
Danny, I'm honored to be on. You're all across America. How about Browns? How lucky they were today. Did you watch the game?
I did. I watched all the games, but we actually, at the place I was at, that was actually on one of the monitors regularly because there was some money wagered there. I agree. They were lucky. I picked the Bills. I can't believe the Bills didn't win. I still think the Bills are the better team. I was happy to see Cleveland finally throw the ball to Odell Beckham in the red zone. That was a nice change of pace, even though it seemed obvious. I think Nick Chubb is where that offense should go. I think Freddie Kitchens is clueless, but hey, Cleveland got a win.
Yeah, man, real quick. And then Thursday night, it's Steelers and Browns. Who do you have in that? Steelers with a big win.
Yeah, Jeff, I appreciate the call. I think the Steelers are going to win. I think the Steelers make fewer mistakes than the Browns, and they have something that's much more consistent than the Browns, and that is a good defense. The Steelers' defense is awesome. Like, Minka Fitzpatrick is not the only reason, but he is the biggest reason. He's taken them to another level. Joe Hayden is healthy, had an awesome game today. Hayward is still just an absolute monster on that defensive line, right? Like, so you've got Cameron Hayward as a star on the defensive line. You've got TJ Watt and Devin Bush as star linebackers. You got Hayden, Edmonds, and Fitzpatrick in the secondary. Like, the Steelers' defense is legit with stars at all three levels. So, yeah, I think the Steelers win that game. But I will say, weird things happen on Thursday night. But, you know, I'm going to actually, as I pull it up, I'm curious what the look-ahead line is for that game. I'll take a call here and I'll pull it up, but let's see. I'll guess it. Steelers at home, Thursday night football. against the Browns. I'll say Pittsburgh by 4.5. I'll say Pittsburgh by 4.5. While I'm looking up that line, Scott in California. Scott, you're on the Danny Parkin Show. What's up, man?
Hey, now, how's it going? Thanks for the show. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you.
So I'm a disgruntled Cowboy fan. I guess I'm calling the vent. I'm 50 years old, been a Cowboy fan since 1976, and we haven't been in the promised land in half my life. Enough is enough. It's time for change. As far as I can tell, we perfected what they've been wanting to do for the last couple of decades, and that's mediocrity. It's just unbelievable to me. What do you think? What is the step they need to take? Is it time to get rid of Garrett?
Well, there's a couple of things, and we're going to talk more about the Cowboys and paying quarterbacks here coming up in 10 minutes. Yes, I think they should get rid of Jason Garrett, and I think they should be very careful with what they do with Dak Prescott. Franchise tagging him is... I appreciate the call. Do not commit long-term to Dak Prescott. We're going to talk more about that coming up at 1 a.m. Eastern. But I think Jared Goff's your cautionary tale. They paid Jared Goff when that offense was a godsend of a system for a quarterback. And as soon as a little adversity hit, like Todd Gurley being injured or Sean McVay getting figured out, Jared Goff wasn't good enough to take them over the hump, and now they're paying him $140 million over 6 years. And by the way, I read it wrong. That game's in Cleveland on Thursday Night Football. I still think that's off. So Cleveland's a 3-point favorite home against Pittsburgh on Thursday night. I thought the game was in Pittsburgh. My apologies. So I had it as 4.5 in Pittsburgh. It's 3 in Cleveland. So that means I'm off by 1.5 on the spread. Yeah, I will be betting Pittsburgh in that game. But I bet against Cleveland today. So what do I know? All right. Ravens fans, Rams fans, Cowboys fans. What we're going to talk about coming up next matters directly to you, but also to any team in the NFL that has a young quarterback or one day wants to have a young franchise quarterback. That plus your calls next is the Danny Parkin Show, CBS Sports Radio.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.